Well, it certainly is good to be here with you today. It's good to see everyone. Hope that everyone can stay for the fellowship meal. Be back tonight at 5:30 for our evening service, where we will still be smelling the fellowship meal. We might have to just cut it short and have another one. I know there'll be plenty of food today, and thank you for all of those who brought and who helped make this possible. Before we get to that fellowship meal today, I want to take a moment for us to kind of think about kind of what month it is. You know, we flipped our calendars to November this week, and that's the month where we generally think about the things we're thankful for, the things we appreciate. And so today we're going to kind of focus our thoughts around just a few things that we have to be thankful for, to blessings that we can count, that we can be sure of. You know, I know that, as Larry says, and probably as you all feel the same, after Tuesday, thank goodness, this will be over with. But the truth is that Wednesday, we won't be any different than we were on Tuesday. And if we're Christians, if we're living like we should live, we're still going to be very blessed. We're still going to have a lot of things to be thankful for, whether our guy or gal wins or not. It's not going to make a difference for those who are Christians. So this morning, let's look at some of the blessings that we have and that we can remind ourselves of this week, even when maybe the world goes into a little bit of chaos. First thing I want us to count as a blessing and be thankful for is we serve a God who is bigger. We serve a God who's bigger. He's bigger than any nation. So we think back through history and we think back through the Bible, we know that God is bigger than any nation. As we take our minds back to the story of the Exodus, as the children of Israel had been in slavery to the Egyptians, we see God show up. We see God through the process of 10 plagues begin to humble what was a mighty nation. With the last plague being the Passover and the death of the firstborn, the Egyptians finally would let the people go. But as the people left, Pharaoh decided maybe once more he would try to find and bring back this people, these slaves. And as they make it to the river and they make it to the sea and they see the army coming, what does God do? He parts the sea. And then he causes that same sea to swallow up that once mighty, proud nation. God is bigger than any nation. As they go on from there, we find that the kingdom will be split, that those from Israel will be taken into Assyria, those from Judah will be taken into Babylon, but yet God was still bigger than those nations. They would eventually return home. God would defeat both of them. And then we get over into the New Testament. We get toward the end of the book and we see the Roman government has become so big, so mighty. So many Christians have been persecuted. So many Christians have lost their lives because they believe in Jesus. And what appeared to be a nation that was too large to defeat, what appeared to be a nation that was too large to stand against, God stood against them. God defeated them. He told them, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life," because God is bigger than any nation. God is bigger than our problems. God is bigger than the things that we face day to day. You know, sometimes our problems become heavy. Our problems become something we feel like we can't bear. They become something we feel like we just can't make it through. But understand, God is bigger than that. Jeremiah 32 and verse 27 says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me?" God can handle anything. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 28, "Have you not known? Have you not yet heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He never grows tired. He never gives up. He can overcome anything, and He can help us overcome anything. No matter what we face today, no matter what our problem may be, no matter what our difficulty or frustration may be, understand if we give our lives to Him and we give our problems and ourselves over to Him, He can and He will help because He's stronger and He's bigger. And God is bigger than our opposition. James chapter 4. Verses 7 and 8 says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And if you draw near to God, the devil knows that's a place he cannot be. God is bigger than our opposition. The devil's pretty good at convincing us that we can't beat him. The devil is good at convincing us that he's got us in his hands. And we have no choice but to give in. But our God is bigger than him. If we draw near to God, the devil must go away. In that revelation at the end of the Bible, Revelation tells a story. And it tells a story of how God will overcome a nation. But in that story, it tells about how God ultimately will overcome all. Revelation chapter 20, in verse 10, "And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." God is bigger than our opposition, and God will win. For those who give themselves to Him, for those who are faithful to Him, there will be victory. Because God is bigger. Bigger than any nation, He's bigger than our problems, and He's bigger than the opposition. He will win. And we can count our blessings today. If we give ourselves to Him, we will win too. God is bigger. We also count our blessings today and are thankful because we have a Savior in Jesus. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we'll begin in verse 5. We have a Savior in Jesus. When you really consider what Jesus did, it's an amazing thing to really wrap our heads around. What Jesus was willing to do in order for us to be able to be with Him. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Just think for a second. When we open the Bible, when we read the first verse, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Part of that is Jesus. In the beginning, Jesus was there when the earth was created. In the beginning, He was part of what formed us, what made us. He's part of our Creator. And yet He left heaven. He left His home in heaven to come down to earth. He came down to earth and became one of His own creation to live among us, to walk among us, to live just like us. Here, as Paul discusses that, he says that even though, verse 6, He was in the form of God, He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking on the form of a servant. Not only did He leave heaven and become His creation, He became the servant of His creation. He became our servant. So that He could then
give Himself on the cross. To take away our sin. To take away our mistakes. To make us free. To make us clean. And to make us whole. How many people do you think living would be willing to do the same thing? Would be willing to go to those lengths to save someone? It's a pretty tall order, isn't it? He left heaven to become one of His creation so that His creation might be able to come live with Him. Now notice what Paul goes on to say. Therefore, verse 9, God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We have a Savior in Jesus. We have the forgiveness of our sins. We have an opportunity to be united with God. It matters not where we've been. It matters not what we've done. Jesus' blood is for everyone. His love, His forgiveness is extended to everyone, and it's available all the time because He was willing to come and live here for us. We're grateful today and thankful, and we count a blessing that we have a Savior in Jesus. Another reason we can be thankful, another blessing we can count, is that we can be children of God. We can be God's children. We can be God's people. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 12. It says, "So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you will put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him." You understand the implication of what Paul says? We are children of God. We are fellow heirs with Christ Himself. You think about where we come from, where we are before we meet Christ, and where we can be after we meet Christ. It's an amazing transformation. Jesus saves us, but He also allows us to be His brother, to be His sibling, to be a fellow heir with Him. And we today here can say we are a child of God. We belong to God. We're His. We're one of God's chosen people. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the beloved." What do we get from that? Verse 7, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace." He predestined us. For those that give themselves to Him, we're adopted by Him. We're a fellow heir. We are a child of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 14, Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. We can be His. When we belong to Him, we get all the blessings that come from knowing Him, from being saved by Him, ready to live with Him forever. You know, we got a lot of reasons to be thankful. Obviously, one of those reasons is the fact that God loves us. Is the fact that God sent His Son to die for us. Is the fact that we can be one of His children. We've got so many reasons to be thankful today. When was the last time you really took a moment to take stock of your blessings? To really stop and realize how blessed we are. You know, our society convinces us that we don't really ever have enough. We're not really ever where we need to be. We always need more. And as we go into the Christmas season, all the magazines and all the sales books are going to come out with the wish list. Wish I had this. I wish I had that. We'll start giving each other gift ideas, right? Thinking about the things we wish we had. And society gears itself to telling us we always need more. We always need something else. We're not complete if we don't get this next thing. But in truth, don't we already have all that we will ever need? Just think about what you have. Think about how blessed you are. Think about where you live today. And how awesome it is to be where you are. Take stock of your blessings. God has given us so much to be thankful for. And I don't care what happens this week. I really don't. It doesn't matter. Because who we are and who we can be is not altered by any of man's decisions. It doesn't matter what happens. If we belong to God, we will be blessed forever. Perhaps you're here this morning and you haven't yet given yourself to Him. You haven't yet contacted all the blessings that come from being His. We want to encourage you. If you've heard the word, believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess that He is the Son of God. And be buried with Him in baptism. Having your life in His hands. And getting all the blessings that comes from that. Maybe you're here this morning and you've wandered away. And you need to come back to Him. Remember the story of the prodigal son. As the father waits at the roadside. That's God waiting for us to come back to Him. If you have a need this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing?